Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
TxDOT issues Midland County traffic alert. The Texas Department of Transportation issued a traffic alert Monday stating that from 7 p.m. to 5 a.m. Monday, July 24th through Friday, July 28th, there will be nightly closures in the westbound right main lane of I-20 between State Highway 349 and Midkiff Road. The construction contractor is adjusting barrier and striping for the new main lane detour. Both westbound main lanes will shift to the detour Friday night. Watch for slow-moving construction vehicles in this work zone. Acceleration Academy's graduation helps students meet milestones. Students at the Acceleration Academy's held a summer commencement Monday to celebrate their achievement of graduation and all their hard work. Natasha Scott, director of Acceleration Academies, congratulated the students on reaching the milestone and thanked Ector County ISD for its support in partnering with Acceleration Academy to support students in need of a non-traditional learning environment. There are about 33 students who have graduated between May and now. 8 were in attendance at the Acceleration Academy, located in the Prosperity Bank building in downtown Odessa, but 6 came up to take their certificates. ECISD Superintendent Scott Murray said the idea of something like Acceleration Academies was discussed during a retreat with board members from across Texas about 3.5 years ago. 4 members of the ECISD Board of Trustees were at the ceremony. Mary said they didn't know the name of Acceleration Academy, but they were talking about an opportunity to look into the community and find students that have made a decision perhaps to drop out of high school. So how can we recover them, bring them back, and ensure that they have a high school diploma? Because we all know that a high school diploma opens doors. So it's fun today to be standing here, Mary said. Mary said the students were also there Monday because of the partnership that they have with parents, grandparents, a sibling or other family member, boyfriend or girlfriend who gave them a little nudge. And then you have people in this room, you have teachers, you have administrators, you had other educators that were a part of your life, perhaps coaches or others that played a role in you being here today. The Acceleration Academies is a reality because Ector County Independent School District partnered with them to make this place happen for you. You are each here today because you have partnered with people over the last 18, 19, 20 years that made this possible, Murray said. Marco Salazar became an Acceleration Academies about a year ago in need of a non-traditional learning environment. His determination is personified in his life's goals, Scott said. Salazar, who was a went to Permian High School, said he and his brother Raul Vasquez started a private cafe business, a private chef business, which made it difficult to fit school in. They have Rat and Go, their private chef business, and Rat and Go Brothers, which is their food truck. With Acceleration Academies, he was able to come in 20 hours a week and work from home. Salazar said the staff really motivated him and seemed like family, wanting him to graduate more than he himself did. He thought he didn't have to get a high school diploma to be a chef, but staff told him he was right there and pointed him in the right direction. Salazar told his fellow graduates they can be anything they want to be. He added that the only person that can stop them is themselves. He added that some of the best advice he's gotten is to invest in yourself and set impossible goals. Salazar said he didn't find his love for cooking until he moved in with his brother at age 16. His brother was already a sous chef at a Wolfgang Puck restaurant in Dallas and promoted to executive chef. His brother told Salazar he was going to be a dishwasher because Salazar had moved in with him. His brother slowly began to show Salazar everything, and he developed a passion for it. Despite his misgivings at first, Salazar said he talked to the executive chef at the Marriott and was asking him questions before graduation. The chef told him if he didn't get a high school diploma, he wasn't going to waste his time on Salazar, so there was some motivation for him. Dakota Davis, 17, wanted to graduate from high school faster. He had been at PHS as well. Davis said he didn't feel much about graduating Monday, but said it was nice to be done with school. As a junior, I don't have to go through my whole senior year, so now he can go straight into the workforce, Davis said. He added that Acceleration Academies was good for making up credits as well because he had to make up two and knock them out in a week. Their program is really nice. Anyone could do it. It's probably the best thing. The teachers are already here to help you, and they're just amazing people. It's like a family here, Davis said. Oscar Torres, 20, who attended Odessa High School, he's looking into financial aid to attend college. It was very easy to use, Torres said of the program. Very user-friendly, and the people were great. They helped me out. A combined summer graduation is scheduled for 5:30 p.m. Tuesday at the Performing Arts Center at Odessa High School. TxDOT, Midland County Finish Widening, West County Road, 114. The Texas Department of Transportation and Midland County partnered up to widen West County Road, 114 at Rankin Highway. The intersection went from 2 to 3 lanes to improve traffic operations for South Midland while interstate construction is underway. Richard Milburn Academy to offer universal breakfast program. The Richard Milburn Academy, Texas Incorporated, RMA, on Monday announced it will operate the universal breakfast program under the National School Breakfast Program for the 2023-24 school year. This will allow all students at all schools' sites to be served breakfast at no charge. The ability for RMA to offer this special alternative rests upon the success of the school in receiving a completed application for free and reduced price meals for the National School Breakfast Program from each household in the school. Applications will be furnished by RMA and can be obtained at a local RMA campus or online at rmaschools.com. Call Amy Wood, Director of Student Services, at 726-800-6239 to ask questions. Completed applications can be returned to the following locations. RMA Odessa, 2419 North County Road West, Suite 100 in Odessa, and RMA Midland, 1305 North Midland Drive in Midland. OC Board Workshop Set. The Odessa College Board of Trustees will meet in a work session at noon Wednesday in room 119 of the Wood Math and Science Building, 201 West University Boulevard. Items on the agenda include the Fine Arts Parking Lot Secure Pricing Guarantee, purchase of Lab Volt Instrumentation and Process Control, sale of property at 2324 Andrews Highway, also, Board Policy Update 45, Collections Unlimited, Approval of the 2023-24 Budget, Approval of the Banking Request for Proposals, Monthly Financial Statements and Budget Amendments, Quarterly Investment Reports, and an Education Report. Viva Big Bend Set. Viva Big Bend will have its 12th edition this week. There are more than 65 shows in 20 venues in 6 communities in far west Texas. Marfa Alpine Marathon, Terlingua, Presidio, and Fort Davis. The full schedule can be found on the website. At the top of the lineup, ORFAX pages are links to the full program. Here are shows that will be held and on which dates. July 26th, Terlingua, Fort Davis. July 27th, Alpine, Marfa. July 28th, Alpine, Marfa, Marathon, Presidio. July 29th, Alpine, Marfa, Fort Davis. July 30th, Alpine, Marfa, Marathon, Fort Davis.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the oil report of the Midland Reporter-Telegram for Saturday, July 15th. Pinnacle Midstream to double Dos Picos capacity. The story was written by Mella McEwen. Even as management was putting Pinnacle Midstream on its feet, they were looking to the future. Pinnacle Midstream 2 announced 2 years ago plans to expand its Dos Picos natural gas system and processing complex in the Midland Basin. The company announced this week construction of an additional processing train is now underway, with completion expected in the fourth quarter of 2024. Speaking with the Reporter-Telegram by telephone, Pinnacle founder and chief executive officer Greg Sargent explained that logistics require long-term planning. Quote, "We have to be way ahead," he said, "looking at least 18 months into the future as to what customers' needs will be, so infrastructure will be ready." Pinnacle is in the process of constructing a second natural gas processing plant, Train 2, that, at 220 million cubic feet per day, is identical to, or nearly identical to, the first plant. When completed, it will double the company's processing capacity to more than 440 MMCF per day. It will be co-located in Midland County to complement the existing processing facilities and high-pressure, large-diameter gathering and compression infrastructure already in operation. The company also plans to expand its gathering and compression facilities located throughout Midland, Martin, and Glasscock counties to accommodate expected and future volumes. Drew Ward, chief commercial officer, said recent takeaway constraints have prompted companies to be more proactive in their long-range planning. Quote, "We expected the residue market to be tight in the Midland Basin and aligned with the market and our partners to navigate through the tightness," Ward said. "We see a looser market by the end of the year and another 12 to 16 months before another long-haul pipeline will be needed," end quote. Ward predicted such a pipeline will have to be built by 2026. Sargent added that processing capacity, quote, "is right on the edge," end quote, "and when additional capacity is placed in service, it doesn't take long to fill up." That has prompted Pinnacle to team up with other midstream companies and operators so that if one has spare processing capacity, it can process gas for others in order to avoid flaring. Sargent said the infrastructure is designed with a focus on air quality preservation and safety, and the expansion is expected to help minimize flaring in the Midland Basin. Quote, "We've worked to minimize flaring at our facilities and at our customers' tank batteries. We also incentivize our employees, based on the amount of gas that's not flared, to work hard at not flaring gas," Sargent said. The compressor plants utilize instrument air to reduce fugitive emissions and an HSE, Health, Safety, and Environment staff member consistently monitors the facilities, Sargent said. The equipment has also been designed to withstand triple-digit temperatures as well as single-digit temperatures to ensure compressor stations keep running and sending natural gas through the pipeline to power generators. Both men are bullish on the outlook for natural gas, with Ward pointing to rising demand for liquefied natural gas and increasing demand from Mexico. They are also bullish for Pinnacle, citing the rise of natural gas production associated with crude oil, especially on the very productive acreage dedicated to Pinnacle. Quote, "The majority of our employees are in Midland and Odessa, and we're excited to continue to invest in that economy and that workforce and create jobs," said Ward. Two New Mexico counties dominate Permian production growth. The story was written by Mella McEwen. While the Permian Basin dominates the nation's crude production, two New Mexico counties are dominating Permian Basin production. The Energy Information Administration recently issued a report finding Eddy and Lee counties in New Mexico, both located in the Delaware Basin, drove much of the recent growth in Permian Basin crude output. Citing figures from the energy-focused software-as-a-service firm Enverus, the EIA said the two counties accounted for 29% of all crude oil production in the Permian Basin in the first quarter of 2023. The two counties combined averaged 1.7 million barrels per day, according to Enverus. The dominance of the two counties extends to natural gas, with Enverus estimating associated natural gas production has nearly doubled since 2021. In January 2021, Lee and Eddy counties averaged 3.7 billion cubic feet of natural gas associated with oil-directed drilling. By March 2023, the two counties averaged 6.5 BCF per day, accounting for 28% of all natural gas production in the Permian Basin in the first quarter of this year. By contrast, oil output from the Permian Basin rose to 5.7 million barrels per day in March, the most recent month of data available. In 2022, output averaged 5.3 million barrels a day and 4.7 million barrels a day in 2021. The Permian Basin reached a record high of 21 BCF in 2022. Dane Gregoris, Managing Director Intelligence with Enverus, attributed the performance of Eddy and Lee counties to three things. The highest oil productivity per well across the Permian, as measured by first six-month cumulative oil production per well, the lowest break-evens across major Permian Basin counties at $42 per barrel each, compared to the Permian average of $45 a barrel, the most rig activity across the U.S. with 56 rigs in Lee County and 51 rigs in Eddy County active today. Quote, "We believe production growth in Eddy and Lee counties will continue," Gregoris told the Reporter-Telegram by email. "Our expectations are both counties will contribute over 2.1 million barrels a day in total by 2025, end quote. Railroad Commission issues oil and gas monitoring plan for fiscal year 2024. The story was written by Mella McEwen. Texas's three elected railroad commissioners have approved the agency's oil and gas monitoring plan for the upcoming fiscal year 2024, which begins September 1st. Quote, "The plan provides regulatory stability for the oil and gas industry while also addressing additional work," Patty Ramon, spokesman for the regulatory agency, told the Reporter-Telegram by email. She wrote, "It focuses on developing a framework to describe the totality of monitoring and enforcement efforts beyond inspections and remediation work to include the extensive work done involving technical permit monitoring and administrative compliance enforcement. Expanding public outreach and public engagement," quote, "that will build on ongoing transparency initiatives that provide as much Railroad Commission information as possible to the public and operators, was another goal in crafting the plan, Ramon continued. The plan was translated into Spanish at the start of the public comment through publication of the final document, she noted. That public comment period also provided additional details about funding from the Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act to plug orphaned wells across the state. New information was provided about how the commission will combine output from its well-plugging priority matrix with more than 20 factors from the Environmental Protection Agency's Environmental Justice Screening Tool and well-plugging work orders. The agency has also submitted comments on draft federal guidance on another set of grants that could be utilized next fiscal year. The Commission's well-plugging program, which has exceeded goals set by the legislature for six straight years, will continue its prioritization system to extend its successful work plugging orphaned oil and gas wells throughout the state with state funds. When crafting an annual monitoring and enforcement plan began several years ago, quote, the focus was on activities occurring within the Commission's budget strategies on inspections and remediations, Ramon wrote. Following several years of experience, the plan focuses on a broader scope that encompasses the totality of the Commission's oil and gas monitoring and enforcement activities, she wrote. As the oil and gas industry has advanced, staff training has become very important, and Commission inspectors will continue to receive in-house and external training on the technologies used in both conventional and shale operations. Part of the Commission's most recent goals are to use data from inspections, enforcement, and compliance to improve information management systems so that they are more user-friendly for operators. That work will continue in the next fiscal year to help efficiency for both Commission staff and oil and gas operators. As the fiscal year 2024 plan stands ready to be implemented, Ramon said planning for the next year is already underway. Quote, Railroad Commission staff develops a draft plan, and their work includes interacting with stakeholders who could provide different expertise and experience, Ramon wrote. She noted that public comment for the fiscal year 2024 plan was incorporated where appropriate, and public comments will also inform development of the fiscal year 2025 plan next year.
This is the Dear Abby column. Aging mother refuses to discuss the inevitable. Dear Abby, my mom turns 85 this year. When my father died of congestive heart failure 10 years ago, our family had a clear understanding of Dad's wishes about the end-of-life care he wanted. We knew he didn't want heroic measures like a feeding tube or to be on a ventilator. Since Dad had been sick for a few years and he was open to these discussions, Mom felt confident making choices for his care when he could no longer communicate his wishes. With Mom, it is a completely different story. She refuses to have conversations about this with my siblings and me, and accuses me of being morbid. Although she has a will, she has made no decisions about a proxy or for her care. Do you have any suggestions for how we can help Mom feel more comfortable having these conversations and documenting her wishes? Signed, loving, not morbid daughter. Dear daughter, offer your mother resources that normalize discussions about end-of-life wishes and care. Helping to ensure that she receives the care she wants is not morbid. It is a gift to her and your family. If something happens to a loved one and they can no longer communicate for themselves, you should not have to guess what their wishes would be in a crisis. Start with the perfect gift for Mom. Finish strong, putting your priorities first at life's end. A book written by Barbara Coombs Lee, the President Emerita and Senior Advisor of Compassion and Choices. Compassion and Choices is an organization I have mentioned before in my column and to which I contribute. It offers a multitude of resources, including my end-of-life decisions, an advanced planning guide, and toolkit. It would be a helpful starting point for a discussion with your mother. For more information, visit compassionandchoices.org. Dear Abby, I am a divorced dad with two adult daughters and a 14-year-old daughter. My older daughters are learning to be responsible for themselves, and I'm proud of them. The question I need help with involves my youngest. She doesn't want to go to school. She stays awake on the phone. I have taken two of them from her, yet her mom keeps giving her phones. I have unplugged the Wi-Fi. I tried talking to my ex about this to no avail. I'm not perfect. I have said things I regret, but I have always loved my daughters. I have explained that my teen is pushing me away, but my ex doesn't care. My heart hurts. Must I just let go? Signed, Heart Hurting Dad. Dear Dad, your ex-wife appears to be irresponsible in the care of your daughter. She is also attempting to alienate the girl from you. It is very important to find out why your 14-year-old doesn't want to go to school. Is she being bullied? Has she fallen so far behind that she's afraid she can't catch up? Did the COVID lockdown impair her social skills, as it has many other students? Once you know what you are dealing with, you may be able to do more than lecture her about truancy, and that is what I am recommending. She may need counseling. You can write to Dear Abby at dearabby.com or P.O. Box 69440, Los Angeles, California, 90069. Her column is distributed by Universal Press Syndicate.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.